have not forgotten God's only begotten and the price that he paid for my sin. I must not forget, with joy not regret, he died on the cross for all men. Lord, I have not forgotten. Jesus, only begotten, I was lost without hope. When the Lord saved my soul, I remember that hour, by his saving power, I have not forgotten. I have not forgotten. And I hadn't got over it yet either. He was bruised and afflicted, as the prophets predicted, despised and rejected of men. But in his agony, there was ransom for me. His blood bought me joy without end. Lord, I have not forgotten. Jesus, only begotten, I was lost without hope. When the Lord saved my soul, I remember that hour, by his saving power, I have not forgotten. I have not forgotten. I'm washed in the blood, his crimson flood. I have not forgotten. I have not forgotten. Ooh, I have not forgotten. Praise the Lord. Have not forgotten. Amen. Don't intend to forget. Amen. By the way, I might mention that the man that wrote that psalm, Brother Lance Carpenter, about a year ago was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. And it's in a fast progression. They've already taken his keys for his car. And they won't let him go anywhere by himself now. But I talked to him the other day on the phone. I didn't know if he would remember me or not. And he talked to me just as if he saw me that morning.
Amen.
Pray for Brother Lance Carpenter. Luke chapter number 5. Gospel of Luke, chapter number 5. When you found that place, I'll ask all of you who are able and willing to stand and honor the Word of God as we read a few verses. And let's begin reading verse number 18. And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy. And they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he, that is Jesus, saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, take up thy couch, and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them, and took up on that wherein he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. I don't blame him. Amen. Amen. Father, I pray that you'll bless the word of God to every heart and every life today. I'm glad that we have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother that we can always depend on for help. You're a very present help in the time of trouble. Now I pray today that you'd bring the help that all of us need, that we might see Jesus better, that we might see the power and the plan and the purpose of God for our lives. In Jesus' holy name, amen and amen. God bless you and thank you for standing and on the Word of God. The Bible says here that a certain man had four good friends. A certain man with a palsy. By that, the word palsy, it means he couldn't do anything for himself. He couldn't walk. He couldn't get from one place to another. This man with a palsy couldn't even put his own clothes on. Anyone that has the palsy is helpless. They have to have help to do anything. This man had four good friends who had decided among themselves, who had been burdened for him and with him, that they were going to do the best thing that they knew how to do. And they were going to take him to Jesus. May I go on record to tell you today, you'll never be a better friend to anybody than to try to get them to Jesus. You can't be a better friend to anybody, no matter what you can give them, no matter what assistance you might be able to bring, no matter what help that you might be able to muster up to give them. You'll never be a better friend to anybody than to be a friend close enough to get them to Jesus. Amen. There is no better friend. Now, I've always heard that in the run of a lifetime, if you've got enough friends that you can count them on one hand, you've done pretty good. Well, this man, in his state of affairs, with the palsy, unable to do anything for himself, already had four good friends. They were going to take him to number five, who is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, who's the best friend that you can ever have, who is gracious enough that he is willing to forgive and to cleanse and to heal. Amen. 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 To take us out of the problem that we're in, that we might receive life and have it more abundantly. Amen. These four men were willing to do whatever it took to get him to Jesus. I have no doubt that being the kind of friend they had been, they'd already taken him to the physician. But yet he grew worse. They'd already taken him to the priest and possibly been prayed for, but yet he got worse. He wasn't any better. They'd already taken him down to the psychiatrist and laid him down on the couch and tried to talk him into feeling better, tried to talk him into doing better, tried to talk him into turning over a new leaf, tried to talk him into changing his life, but it didn't work. All the philosophies of man are of no avail. Amen. Even Darwin came up in his latter years of life not even believing his own theory. Amen. There is only one philosophy of life. His name is Jesus. That's right. Yeah. He's the only one that can do for us what nobody else can do. Yeah. Right. They had come to realize that if their friend was to receive any help that was going to change his life at all, they had to get him to someone else that was able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that they could ever ask or think, because nobody else understands and nobody else comprehends and nobody else has the power and the presence to do for us what Jesus can do.
Amen.
It had become a burden to these four friends that they might take their friend to the friend of friends.
Amen.
That he might do for their friend what possibly he'd already done for them. Why would you say what he had done for them? Because of the faith they had in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
They had already recognized the fact that he was able to take care of the situation.
Yeah.
Folks right here in the world, in 2015, no matter how bad it may look on the outside. And preacher, yeah, today I can say a whole lot of bad things about America, because there's a whole lot of bad going on with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. We are not the America that, we're not living in the country that I wish we were living in.
That's right.
Amen. Because America's going to be like all other nations that have turned their back on God and been cast into hell. It's fixing to happen. God can't let us get by with killing 144,000 babies a day.
Right.
God can't let us get by with making it all right for a man to marry a man or a woman to marry a woman.
Amen.
God can't let us get by with that.
Right.
Because it's against the holiness and the righteousness and the purity of God.
Right.
It declares to God that the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross of Calvary to pay our sin debt should be null and void. Amen. When we declare that we know better than God, and we turn our back on Him, we're no better than Sodom and Gomorrah.
That's right.
And if God lets us get by with it, He'll have to call Sodom and Gomorrah back from the ashes and apologize. He ain't going to do that. Because He's never made a mistake.
That's right.
He's done everything right and will continue to do right. And every part of that book, every jot, every tittle, will be fulfilled just like God said it will.
Amen. Amen.
These four men had a burden upon their heart that they would take their friend to where Jesus is. And the Bible said that it was noise that Jesus was in the house.
Amen.
You know what that meant was? They hadn't kept it quiet. It wasn't done in a corner. Everybody had been talking about it. The news of the day was that Jesus was going to be in the house, and He was going to be preaching, and He was going to be talking, and He was going to be healing those that would bring their sickness and bring their difficulties to Him. It had already been glory to God. It ought to be noised about that there's something going on at Faith Baptist Church, that there's something going on in the lives of the membership of Faith Baptist Church. There's something that needs to be broadcast to those round about us. They'd passed out flyers. They'd put it on the radio. They'd put it on the television. They'd advertise it mouth to mouth, ear to ear, that they might know that Jesus was in the house.
Amen.
And that there was help available.
Amen.
If those that you work with, those that you go to school with, those that are around you don't know that there's help available in the house of God, then what are you telling them?
Right.
What are you showing them? What would you ever make a difference in their life about if you weren't willing to tell them there's help for them in the house of God? I'm not saying that you've got to be in the church house to get saved, but why would you want a better place than a church house to get saved?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. These four men had a burden on their heart to get their friend to Jesus. You know, if I could today, I would, that God would put upon every person in this house today a burden upon your heart to get folks to Jesus.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
The only thing that matters is Jesus in the life. Some of you didn't hear that. Maybe you didn't want to. The only thing that really matters in this life is that Jesus makes a difference in us.
Amen.
And the only way He'll make a difference in us is that we must be born again. Amen. Born from above. Not by the will of the flesh nor by the will of man, but by the power and the will of God. Amen. These four men decided they took a couch down. Jesus called it a couch. In another place they called it a bed. Probably it was more like a tarp with a handle on each side. Had two staves, one on each side. They went down there. They picked up their friend who couldn't do anything for himself. And by the way, those that are lost and undone without God who know not Jesus can't do a thing about it. They can't do it themselves. They're not going to find out how to get help until they know that they need help. Until you get lost, you can't get found. I'm glad I remember being lost and undone without God. I'm glad I remember old time Holy Ghost conviction getting a hold of my heart. I'm glad that I had people that were praying for me that had presented the Word of God to me, not only through the Word, through the Bible, but through the life that they lived in front of me, that Jesus was my answer, that He was my remedy.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but I've been going to church since 9 months before I was born. Yeah. My parents decided we was going to church.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
They had a burden on their heart that they wanted me to come to know the same Jesus that they knew.
Amen.
That they wanted me brought up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. When I got saved by the grace of God at the age of 10 at an old-fashioned altar, I found out that most of that crowd had been praying for me ever since I'd been born.
Amen.
And they were glad that we assembled ourselves together with like believers in the house of God. Amen.
Amen.
If moms and dads don't decide what goes on in their house, shame on them. Because God has given us the opportunity and the privilege and the responsibility of deciding what our kids see and where they go and what they do and what they take part in. And if you're not giving your exceeding your God-given a privilege of taking care of them, then you're not doing your job. Amen. When the kids decide where the family goes and how they spend the money and what they take part in, we're run by adolescents. Those who know not better. Amen. These men knew that the only hope their friend had was to get their friend to Jesus. They took down a couch, a bed, whatever you want to call it. They picked up their friend, they laid him on it, and each one of them picked up a corner, and they headed out of his house to the house where Jesus was. Amen. And they were going to do the job. They weren't willing to take no for an answer. They weren't going to quit. The Bible doesn't tell us how many obstacles they had to face, how many hills they climbed, how many valleys they had to cross, how far it was from that man's house to where the house was that Jesus was in. It does not matter. It doesn't matter what it cost. It doesn't matter what it takes. It does not matter the effort that has to be made. It's got to be done. And if we don't do it, who will? God help. We've gotten so lazy. We've gotten so complacent. We've gotten so comfortable in the way things are. We've come to a place that we got our four we don't want anymore.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we don't go out knocking on doors. We don't go out on visitation. We don't go inviting folks to come to the house of God. We don't tell them, hey, there's something you need to hear. There's something you need to be part of. There's something more important than what you've got going on.
Right. Amen.
Right. Amen. Bringing them to Jesus is far more important than taking them to the ball game.
Right.
Bringing them to Jesus is far more important than taking them to the mountains or down to the beach or out to the lake or down to the bowling alley or wherever else you might find entertainment. Amen or oh me goes right there. Yeah. There's far more important things to do in the house of God where Jesus is and allowed to be Lord than there is anywhere else you want to be. No wonder the psalmist David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord.
Amen.
He had it upon his heart. He was going there to worship. Because he had somebody in his heart to worship.
Amen.
God meant more to him than the world did. Amen. God, you give it. I'm going to preach it whether they like it or not.
Amen.
Amen. These men had it upon their heart. We're going to do what it takes to get him to Jesus. Each one of them picked up a corner of the bed and they carried him all the way. I'm glad Mom and Dad carried me to church.
Amen.
I've had a drug problem all my life. I was drugged to church on Sunday morning. I was drugged to church on Sunday night. I was drugged to church on Wednesday night. I was drugged to prayer meeting, cottage prayer meetings during the middle of the week. And whatever was going on, I got drugged to it.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. And I'm really glad that they did.
Thank the Lord.
Amen. The best times I've ever had have been in the house of God.
Amen.
Yeah. They got a burden on their heart. They got a burden in their hand. They got a burden on their back and on their legs. And in their mind that they were going to get him to where Jesus was. No matter what it cost, no matter what it took, no matter what effort they had to make, no matter how much they had to leave their comfort zone. Amen. I'm a Baptist. I've been a Baptist since before I was born.
Amen.
Mom and Dad were Baptist. My grandparents were Baptist. That didn't get me saved.
Right.
The Word of God got me saved.
Right.
Yeah. But I'm glad Jesus got to me before the Baptist did. Mm-hmm. Amen. I'm glad I got born again before I joined the Baptist church.
Amen.
In the last 50 years that I've traveled and been in a lot of Baptist churches, I found a whole lot of them that didn't want me either. Mm. Amen. Because I'm a little loud.
Amen. Louder.
I'm a little boisterous.
Amen.
I get a little excited once in a while.
Amen.
I like for things to get stirred up in the house of God.
Amen.
When Israel was over there and couldn't sing, they didn't want to sing because they'd hung their harps on the willow because their life had been taken away from them and they were not at home.
Amen.
God told them, said, "You'll know that I'm with you when you hear the sound of the going in the mulberry trees." I'm not telling you that every sound that is made in the house of God comes from God, but if God's in the house, there will be some noise.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. This is the quietest world you're ever going to live in.
Right.
No matter which one you go to.
Hmm.
Hmm. Amen. If you get to go to heaven, there are going to be a whole lot of folks shouting and praising God over there. There are even going to be angels flying from one point of heaven to another crying, "Holy, holy, holy."
That's right.
Amen. It's going to be loud. And if you go to hell, it's going to be loud too. There's going to be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. This is the quietest world you'll ever live in. Some of you ought to get practiced up if you're going to go to heaven.
Amen.
Amen. You might ought to try hallelujah once in a while.
Amen.
You ought to try, praise the Lord, glory to God sometimes, see if it won't help you.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. It was a black preacher, didn't have much money, didn't have a lot in this world. He got hungry and he went down to the butcher shop and he bought him a pound of hamburger meat. They put it in a little brown paper sack and he started down the sidewalk back to his house, going to cook it, make something to eat out of it. He's walking along there. All at once, he is thanking God for the meat, and all at once a dog ran out from behind him, grabbed that meat, and took off with it. And the old preacher tried to, praise the Lord anyway. Praise the Lord anyway. Somebody said, "What are you praising God for? The dog got your meat." He said, "Yeah, but he didn't get my appetite." We ought to have an appetite to praise the Lord, to give glory to God for what He's done for us.
Amen.
Amen. Bless His good name. These men grabbed a corner of the bed. They headed out to where Jesus was. I believe they were excited about the opportunity of taking Him to where Jesus was.
Amen.
When they finally got to the house where Jesus was, they couldn't get in. Imagine that problem. Imagine having so many people that the windows were all full, the doors were all full, and there was absolutely no way that those Baptists were going to scoot over and let this guy that really needed in get in.
Amen. That's right. Huh.
Amen. Baptists will do you that way, you know. They will. A dear friend of mine was pastoring a church in Western North Carolina. He was up 75 years old then, I guess. 70-something, and he was pastoring a little church way out in the sticks out there, and he was preaching the Word of God. And the deacons came to him one day and said, "Preacher," said, "you just preach it too straight. It's too hot. We can't handle it. We'd rather you'd take it somewhere else." Mm-hmm. You just preach too straight. He was calling sin, sin. Describing it to them. And they didn't like it because some of them was involved in it. Amen. And they told him they wanted him to take it somewhere else. So he took it somewhere else. He and his wife went home. Just a week or so later, his phone rang and it was a deacon on the other end. He said, "Preacher, I understand you're not pastoring now. And we don't have a pastor. Would you be willing to come and preach for us?" He said, "Well, sure I would." And so they set it up for him to go preach on Sunday morning at another church. They got there early that morning. Didn't find but one car in the parking lot. But the door was open, so he and his wife went on in. Got on inside the church and couldn't find anybody. Didn't see anybody anywhere. And he said, told his wife, said, "You go on in and sit down and read and pray and ask God to help us today. I'm going to go find that fellow that invited me to come preach today." So he went looking for people while she went in and sat down in an empty church house. Well, while she'd read her Bible and she'd begin to pray and ask God to bless her husband that day, that they might have a good service, that they could worship the Lord that day, when somebody tapped her on the shoulder. She looked up and there stood a woman looking at her and said, "You're in my seat." Remember, there was nobody else in the building. But the preacher's wife was in her seat. Can I remind you of the fact that if the seat's in the house of God, it don't belong to you?
Amen.
If it's in the church, get your hands off of it. Because it ain't yours.
That's right.
Amen.
If it's been given to God, by the way, it all belongs to Him anyway.
Right.
Yeah. But Baptists will do that kind of stuff. They'll put plaques on the end of the pew and dedicate it to somebody who helped pay for it,
yeah.
Thought they helped pay for it when God gave them the money to help pay for it. And then they'll dare you to sit on it.
Right.
Amen.
Preach it, brother.
I ain't going to quit now.
Keep going. Amen.
These men had got to the house and they couldn't get their friend in. There was too many people.
Amen.
What are we going to do? We can't give up now. We've come this far. Jesus is in the house. How are we going to get our friend in there? One of them said, "Well, I got an idea." "What is it?" "Let's go up there on the roof. Tear those tiles away. Let our friend down in the middle where Jesus is." "Sounds good. Let's get at it." They go up on the roof. They tear the tiles away. They bring their friend up there and they start letting him down into the middle of the room where Jesus is. Now, you'll never convince me that Jesus didn't know they were on their way. He knew the desire of their heart. He knew what they had on their mind. He knew the burden that was on their soul before they ever left the man's house. Amen. And he was already there, posted and awaiting on, glory to God, waiting on the opportunity to answer their request.
Amen.
Amen. Ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. He's waiting on us to answer our request.
Mm.
If we'll only believe that he will.
Amen.
Somehow I believe that when they were letting him down in the midst of the room, that Jesus looked up. Bible said when he saw their faith, I believe he looked up and said, good job, boys.
Right.
Amen. Preacher, if there's anything that I ever want to hear, any accolades that can ever be laid to me, anything good that anybody might ever say to me or about me, I want to hear him say, good job, son.
Amen.
Amen. You did a good job, boy. You've been faithful over a few things. Well done. Doesn't matter what anybody else may ever say. As long as he says, good job.
Amen. Yes.
They let him on down. Can you imagine what was going on in that house? The roof's being torn away. The building committee's going, what in the world? Do they not know that's expensive? We'll never be able to pay for this. Do they not know? That thing may leak from now on. Yeah. We're all the time wanting to make excuses for why we're not doing our job. Amen. By this time, that bunch of Baptists has fallen out the windows. They're headed out the door. They've never seen anything like this before. They're making all the room they need to let that palsied man down into the midst of them. The whole time Jesus has been preaching to them, the whole time he's been declaring, the incarnate Word is declaring the Word of God.
Amen.
The incarnate Word is declaring the Word of God. In other words, he's describing himself.
Amen.
And all those that were sitting there in the house had been able to hear it until this commotion takes place. And they start letting the man down through the roof. Oh my. Isn't it amazing how many things will attract our attention more than the Word of God? Uh-oh. I can preach to me as good as I can preach to anybody. Isn't it amazing how other things attract so much more attention than the Word of God does to us? And there, God Himself in flesh is standing among them, and they're worried about the roof. Amen. Worried about circumstances. By the way, did you know that the word worry is not in the King James Bible?
Amen. That's right.
No. He didn't want us to worry. He wanted us to have faith.
That's right. Right.
Mm-hmm. I believe before the man ever hits the floor, before he ever gets down to the floor, Jesus looks at him and says, man, I wondered where that slogan came from. I found it in the Word of God. Man,
amen.
Thy sins are forgiven thee. Oh, now wait a minute. They brought him there to be healed. This man's not able to do anything. He can't walk. He can't do things like everybody else. And they want him to be able to do everything that they do. Hello? But God says, let's get everything in order. God does everything in order. He puts priorities in their place. The most important thing that can ever happen to anybody is their sins be forgiven them.
Amen.
Whether they're ever able to walk and talk and do like everybody else or not, the most important thing that ever happens is they get forgiven of their sins.
Amen.
Thy sins be forgiven thee. Then there were some Pharisees and some Sadducees and some lawyers and some scribes that had gotten their way in as well. They didn't like it. They didn't like it that Jesus had forgiven the man of his sins. You get genuinely saved by the grace of God, there'll be a whole lot of folks that won't like it. The devil won't like it. And those so-called friends that you had that love the ways of the world, they're not going to like it. They're not going to appreciate it at all. Matter of fact, they'll mark you off the list. You get saved by the grace of God. God makes a difference in your life and you're a new creature in Christ Jesus the Lord, and you don't do the things that you used to do with them, they're going to mark you off the list. But I'd rather have the friend that sticketh closer than the brother than the friend that wanted to party all the time.
Amen.
Knowing what was in their heart, knowing what was in their mind, knowing that this bunch didn't believe in him anyway, there they were with God standing in the room with them. They could have reached out and touched him, and yet they didn't believe who he was. Wow. They'd seen, they'd heard, they knew the miracles that were taking place wherever Jesus went. And yet they didn't believe. Why? Because Jesus didn't come to build up their religion. He came to bring salvation. Amen. And there is a great big difference between religion and salvation. Religion will take you straight to hell. You can be religious about anything. You can be religious about the way you comb your hair if you got any comb. You can be religious about the way you tie your shoes if they'll tie. Amen. Now, Jesus didn't come to puff them up or blow them up or to put them on a pedestal and make their religious world bigger. He came to divide.
Right.
To set things in order. He looked around at them and said, "What? Reason ye in your hearts? Whether it's easier to say, 'Thy sins be forgiven thee,' or 'Rise up and walk.'" This was not an itinerant preacher. Benny Hinn had not come to town. This was God come in flesh, standing among them. Just so you guys will know that the Son of Man hath the power on earth to forgive sins. And he looked at that old boy laying down there who had already been forgiven. At that moment, he's in such amazement. He had just got saved by the grace of God. Whether he could walk, whether he could move his body, I don't know. But at that very moment, he's never had the peace. He's never had the joy. He's never had the contentment. He's never had the life that he's enjoying at that very moment, laying there in the floor.
Amen.
Jesus looked at him and said, "Get up. Arise, take up your bed, go on back to your house." Amen. Then he just rolled over, rolled up that bed, threw it across his shoulder, and said, "See y'all." He had all the room he needed to get out. Yeah. Yeah. Many made a remark, "We've never seen it on that fashion before. We've never seen anything like this." Mm-hmm. Amen. And a lot of them were headed for Walmart. Yeah. They were Christianettes who wanted to run on down to the dinette so they could smoke a cigarette.
Amen.
That's right,
man. Too busy for God to do anything in their lives.
That's right.
They were too right to ever be wrong. That old boy rolled that car, that bed up, threw it over his shoulder, walked out among them. As he went, I can just see him going down the trail headed toward his house. When somebody said, "Isn't that old so-and-so?" No. That's who I used to be. I'm not him anymore.
Amen.
Somebody else said, "Didn't I see him? Didn't I see them come and carry?" Yeah, you did. I used to ride on this thing. Now it's riding on me.
Amen.
Because I'm not who I used to be. I'm not what I used to be. I'm not like I used to be. I'm different now.
Amen.
Since Jesus spoke peace to my soul.
Amen.
I believe he went and took that bed back to the house and rolled it up good and tight and put it up on a shelf so that he could go by every now and then and look at it and say, "That's how I used to go. I used to have that thing. But since Jesus came along and since Jesus saved me and since he forgave me and since he touched me, since he spoke peace to my world, I don't need that anymore."
Amen.
Amen. And it's all because four men had a burden. It's all because their desire was to get him to Jesus. If the church doesn't get a desire to get them to Jesus, they're going to die lost and undone and split hell wide open. And it's going to be our fault. Because we're the only ones that can bear our corner of the bed. Amen. Do we want to be memorialized in this world for anything? Do you want a reputation? Do you want somebody to remember you? Or wouldn't it be better that they remembered you as being a good soldier for the army of God than for anything else?
Amen.
Father, in Jesus' name, right now I pray the Holy Ghost might speak to every heart. Oh God, we need to be busy about our Father's business, winning souls to Jesus, bragging on Christ, lifting Him up, declaring to the world that He is the answer, the remedy, the cure. God, we need a burden upon our hearts and upon our lives greater than we've ever known before to get the Word of God out. That somebody might see him. That somebody might want him. Thank you, Lord, for being precious to us. Thank you for being real to our soul. Thank you, oh God, for the call that you've given us. I pray you'd burden us now to do your work, your way, in your will. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.